it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters. And what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble. With exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Welcome to a special edition of Stories of Briscoe and Bradshaw. I would be Bradshaw, and that would be your Chickasaw native, your Chickasaw Hall of Famer, Oklahoma's favorite son, Mr. Gerald Briscoe. And we've got a great treat today because we have two wonderful guests, one we've had on many times before, Mr. Dave Meese, who has the magazine named after himself with a little bit of a French name twist, Massey Magazine, and the wonderful, she's a God Bless Texas girl, August, who is the model in the middle for the May magazine, which I'm not sure why she wasn't in August. We can deal with that later, but it's lovely Miss Renee. Renee, welcome to the show.
Hello, everyone. Hello, hey. How are we?
So we're doing terrific. I'm so glad to be on here with three Texans and Mr. Briscoe. He's a little bit outnumbered.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to be on finally with some beauty from the state of Texas. You know, we've been having all these wrestlers on from Texas and everything, and quite honestly, they're not real handsome guys to deal with, as you can see with John there. But we finally got somebody from the state of Texas that brings out the real flavor of Texas. Thanks so much, Renee, for coming on and putting up with us and Dave and John there. We're going to have a good time here, and congratulations on the what is it now? What do you call it? Not the centerfold, but the girl in the middle, right?
Model in the middle.
Model in the middle.
Yeah,
she's our model in the middle for May and August for May. So that's her title now. And you know what's interesting is she was in the magazine the first year we started back in 2022. In the July issue, I think it was July. Yes,
July.
She was a pictorial in that issue, and since then, well, she turned out so great. I've been wondering, you know, how would it fly for her to be our feature model 1 month? And then she reached out to me and said, "Hey, you know, I'd love to do that." So we were kind of thinking in the same wavelength. So it was great.
Well, I can't believe she's so wonderful and intelligent too. And she had to talk you into making that model in the middle there. What took you so long to make that decision?
Well, when you're doing a monthly magazine, you do get a little distracted at times.
And yeah, I bet.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and I think the timing actually was good because when she was in the magazine 2 years ago, she was 56, gentlemen. She's 58.
Wow,
that's a pretty amazing
really amazing
that she was able to to be one of our feature models at almost 60 years old. That's pretty cool. That is awesome.
Dave, you're listening. Well, we'll get back.
Mr. Briscoe, I'd guess somewhere between 30 and 40. I'm not doing that just because you're on air, but I never would have guessed. Age is just a number. You know, Satchel Paige says, how old would you be if you didn't know how old you were? Well, apparently that's how old you are. So congratulations, you know, not just on the model in the middle, but being in such great shape at 57, 58 years old. That's wonderful.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it's been a journey. It's my honor to be model in the middle at 58. That's wow. Incredible. That's not done. Being a centerfold, that's just not done. You know, that's saved usually for the youngins.
It had to be with your training and your nutrition. You know, I know you as we all age, you know, we have issues with weight and our body shape and everything. And it takes a real dedicated person. I know through athletics and everything, when the guys start reaching a certain age, their body starts changing. I'm sure it's the same with women. So. Was there any special dietary formulas that you followed or workout routines to be such a in shape model?
Well, first, the first half of my life when it was really easy to look good, you know, I just did lightweight stuff. But then I hit about 50 and everything started to flip. It just did 180 and all of a sudden I'm losing muscle. I'm gaining weight. Oh, whoa, you know, hold on. And, you know, don't bury me yet. I'm not dead yet, you know? So I, at that point I started working out and I changed my diet. I started tweaking my diet. I started taking a lot of vitamins. First I just started running, walking and then running and then, going to the gym. Like I said, I started taking different vitamins. The way I ate changed. I'm now vegan and all that, you know, your body can actually work for you if you're feeding it properly, because I lost a lot of muscle once I hit a certain age and I started feeling that whole, you know, menopause thing and that started flipping everything around in your belly. So you have to put in probably 50% more effort to get almost what you look like in your 40s or 30s, right? You have to put in so much effort, but you know, it's doable. The stay on top of it is my main thing. Watch what you're putting in your mouth.
You know, Renee, exactly. One of the hardest or the best things that's changed, you know, from say the days of Arnold and Franco and the guys, you know, the great bodybuilders, you know, when the first bodybuilding first became really big, not just big with Arnold, but also big guys, was nutrition has changed significantly from the 70s to now, probably more so than training. You know, training is pretty much just compound multi-joint movements. There's not that much that's going to progress in training, I don't believe. As far as you, as far as your workouts, was it more cardio? Was it more weightlifting? What did you add as you got older to compensate? Because I'm the same thing. I'm 57 years old. You know, when I was younger, I didn't have to do any cardio. You know, it just didn't. I was one of those guys that just didn't, you know, stick fat on me very easily as long as I did some workout. What's changed as far as your workout? Is it more cardio? Is it more weightlifting? What is it to keep that muscle mass up?
So at first it was just walking. And then I started to add little jogging. And so, yeah, I wanted to get that strength back, cardio. But then I realized, because I was always so muscular, like you said, I had to roll out of bed and I was ripped. My stomach, I had abs, like the whole thing. And I didn't have to do anything. And this was right into my 40s. So then I realized I'm going to have to add weightlifting. And so, you know, I do 300 sit-ups, 300 curls.
300?
300.
That would take me a year.
Because he can't count that high.
See what I have to deal with this Oklahoma friend of mine?
Yeah. So, yeah, I started just doing so many legs, 300, just going at it, you know? And funny thing is I'm still not as ripped as I was in my 40s. Which is crazy. I didn't do all that before, but that's the thing is if you want to have an awesome life and you want to keep trying things, new things like being centerfold at 85, sure, but at 58 years old, you're going to have to put in the effort, and that's okay. That just increases your lifespan and all the wonderful things you can do with it.
How did that passion come along where you wanted to be a model, fitness model? I mean, what kind of set your point on, I want to do this?
Well, I've always loved modeling, and I used to do extra work. I lived in LA for a while, and I've always loved it, being in front of the camera. But then I, you know what? My art distracted me, and I started doing that more. And I'm using myself as the model. So in my 40s, one of my best friends at the time and one of her dear friends, they were both in Playboy. And I was like, you know, I think I'm going to audition for Playboy. But, you know, I was too old. I was 46 at the time. But I thought, well, yeah, at least I did it. So one of my other friends who was a centerfold for Playboy, she decided to make me honorary Playboy bunny. And at that point, I was like, you know what? This is cool. This is a goal I wanted, just because, and I thought I was older then. And I know in 10 years, I'm going to think, oh, I was such a young punk at 58, you know? So,
and that Playmate, by the way, is, I think, the one I found and was one of my gatefold models, right?
Tylan John and...
Oh, actually, both of them.
Yeah, Tylan John and Susie Singstock. She was Susie...
Simpson.
Yeah. And so Tylan introduced me to Susie. She's like, oh, she's right up your alley, you know. And so then I think it was either Tylan or Susie told me to talk to David, and this was back when I was 46, and I don't think we were living in the same place, or we never hooked up. So then I found David. Well, we were always friends on Facebook. Then I found him on Instagram. Mm. And then he was like, oh my gosh, you have to be in my magazine. Oh, okay. Yay. Will do. You don't have to twist my arm.
Okay. Well, and it's so bizarre that that it was through two Playmates that I had photographed for Playboy. And I had no idea that she was friends with them. She starts dropping their names, and I'm like, wait, I photographed both of them. And she goes, yeah, they're my friends. And I'm like, well, you need to join the club, I guess.
Well, I went to high school with Tylan. And I guess she was like the first Playmate to model with her motorcycle. It was really cool. It was a big thing.
Yeah. Really proud. I did her test pictures with it.
Yeah, that's so cool.
So David, you might be the perfect guy to answer this because Uh-oh. You have, because Uh-oh. Of your history. And you know, with age, either comes wisdom or just longevity, is it the case?
I think it's longevity.
they know the history. No, not that they're smart. They just lived it. So the models, how have they changed as far as what the public wants? You know, back you had Sophia Loren, you had Marilyn Monroe with curves, then you went through a Twiggy phase. What is it now that America looks at, or not America, the world, because we're more of a global village now than just an American village as far as
I'm hoping that where I am right now with the magazine. Now, of course, I am older as well, so that gives me a little different perspective on everything. But I find that, especially with the women, when I talk to even young women in their 20s and early 30s and things like that, when I tell them that some of my centerfold models are in their 40s and 50s, they're just like, oh, that's awesome. I think that's wonderful. And I think that there is this change in perspective as far as this age thing goes. I think that, as you mentioned, John, about the age thing is just a number. I think it has become much more that way. And the fact that the women are able to keep themselves looking fit and wonderful at ages of 40, 50, and even into their 60s, I think that sharing that and showing that helps those ladies feel even better about themselves. I mean, another one of our models in the middle is a nurse from LA who who's a friend, who's friends with Renee, actually. Her name's Billy. She was, I think she was 54 when I photographed her. And that was like in 2022 as well, I think. Yeah, she was August, Miss August in 2022. She was 54 at the time and looked fantastic. I mean, when she sent me her pictures, I didn't realize she was that age. And I just said, oh yeah, let's get together, let's shoot. And she had turned out that she had tested in 1999 when she was like in her early 20s for Playmate, and told me later that she was in the opposite studio that I was in, hoping and wishing that she was being photographed by me instead of the other photographer.
Yeah.
I had no idea about that. And so what a compliment it was. And she was so excited that eventually she had the opportunity to work with me. So I think this broadening of appeal of agelessness, maybe, is that it? It's and these ladies also, because of their maturity, have so much to share. And that's part of what I wanted to do with Massey, with the copy that goes along, the stories that go along with the models' photographs, is for them to talk about themselves and what they're doing and what their ambitions are and their talent and that sort of thing. And wow, she's the perfect example. Renee is a perfect example as being an artist of her caliber.
Thank you.
You know, my wife was has been on Wall Street for years. In fact, she was in the 40 under 40 when she was under 40, the most powerful women in the world. Now she's in the 50 over 50, most powerful women in the world. So
nice.
Back then, you know, it was such a misogynist world that men could age, women couldn't.
Right.
Right. And that's it appears to be changing, which is a wonderful thing, because I've certainly dealt with all of this through my wife, and it's an uneven system. It seems like that is evened out. That's what you're starting to feel as well, right, David?
I agree totally. I mean, when I'm traveling and I see these women in the airports and things, and I can tell that they're probably in their late 40s, even 50s, but they look fantastic. And I mean, it's like, and it's exciting that with my magazine, I'm able to share that a bit with the world, and get away from this thing of where it's only the younger women look great in the photographs. The range now is just incredible, and I love that. And it gives me, and by the way, it gives me a much larger audience and to pick from as right. Well.
Dave, I got to ask this. I mean, as a talent scout, you know, I'd walk through airports, I'd look around, I'd see big people, both female and male, they'd make a great wrestler. And, you know, finally I'd go to the bar, sit there and drink me a couple of drinks on a plane. And finally, by the time I get off, I'd have the nerve to go up. Hey, have you ever thought about wrestling? Do you see the same thing when you go through airports or public places? Do you look around and say, hey, that lady there, I don't know anything about her, but she looks like she'd make a great model.
As I did when I was at Playboy many, many years ago, that was my kind of modus operandi. I mean, if I spotted a potential model, a potential playmate, and I found, believe it or not, I found 24. I started doing the count the other day. I found 24 playmates in that's like a playmate a year. I averaged about a playmate a year, although some years were three, some years were zero, but I found 24. And so with that said, when I travel, I'm always looking, and sometimes I will card someone and it's just like, here, I'm a photographer. I think you have a wonderful look.
Has it ever gone bad?
It has for me.
No, to be honest. I mean, I've only had one or two say, oh, I'm not interested in, you know, modeling or something. Like, okay, cool. You know, here's my card. If you ever change your mind, let me know, just contact me here, that kind of thing. So yeah, I've never had anything really bad because I don't press it. I don't try to quote talk them into it while I'm standing there. I'll just tell them who I am. I'm a photographer. Go to this website. Here's and I usually give them I have two different business cards. I have the magazine business card, and then I have my David Meese card, which is my photography. And so I usually give them my photography card so that they know that I'm a photographer. And then if they like my work and then they reach out, I will then explain about Massey. But that's how I go about it. I just try to be, you know, straightforward with them. tell them this is an opportunity if they're interested in being in front of a camera and modeling sometime, to, you know, drop me a text and let's chat. And it's, and I've found a few that way. Wow. And also I do that on Instagram as well.
Yeah. Well, I found John Layfield similar the same way. But I found him at Old Love Field on the bar floor and the lounge at the Love Field.
Oh, my God.
I said, you make a perfect wrestler.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. When you wake up, when you sober up, call me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy. You
know, and David is awesome because he never comes across creepy. He's never.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, when we were.
Well, that can be easy to do. I mean, right. Yeah. Because, I mean, you go up to someone, you know, a pretty woman that you don't know. So, by the way, I'm a cameraman. And yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure you are.
Yeah. He never cuts. Like he was at my house. My hubby's at work. So I'm like, yeah, come on upstairs in my bedroom. Start taking my clothes off. Here, I'll show you what I have. And he's just sitting there totally uncreepy. Right? I'm like, what about this? You know, flash. What about this one? What about that one? He's just like cool as a cucumber, you know?
What a tough job, David. What a
Well, yeah. That's what it's always been told to me. Yeah, you have a tough job, but I go, you know, I sacrifice myself for it. So it's
my husband. Yeah, he's just cracking up because he's like, no, I wouldn't trust anybody else other than David to be doing what he's doing.
Which is a humongous compliment. To come from another guy.
Of course it is.
Especially a husband.
Yeah, especially a husband. Exactly. No, it's a
especially
huge
a husband in Texas because you know they have guns.
That's right.
And many, they know how guns. To use them.
Yeah. Many, many guns, yes.
Yeah. Well, Renee, you know what's so cool about this is, you know, I hate when someone says, oh, they're really good looking for being 58 years old. You're good looking for being you, not for an age or anything else, you know, which is so cool. And that's what I love about society today is people just take people at face value. It's not because, well, they are this because of their age or because their age and they grade on a curve. You don't grade on a curve anymore. They're comparing
right.
You, yeah. The 23-year-olds to the 35-year-olds, you know, and which I think is awesome. How has the feedback been for the magazine?
So everybody is excited because obviously I have a lot of friends that are the Gen Z or Gen X, Gen Z too, but Gen X, right? And we just kind of decided to change the rules a bit, you know, Gen X. And so everybody's just, even the males and females, not just the females, because the males love the idea that the females are becoming stronger. It's becoming a trend to be the older women. It's this huge trend right now and everybody's going bananas over it. And so they love that I'm blazing a particular trail, in this case, taking it all off. Being confident about it. And so I have a lot of positive. I don't get negative feedback because, I mean, somebody might say to me, but I haven't had this yet, where they say, aren't you setting women back? But that's the thing is people my age, we're doing actually the opposite. We're just kind of flying those doors open, kicking them in. And so everyone, including, because I work with younger people because I'm a teacher. So even they are excited because what people like myself, what we're doing is we're making it so that they can continue to do whatever the hell heck they want to do right into their 60s. Like for females, you're not washed up anymore at 30 because we've got all these people going, no, you're just getting started. And so I've been getting only really good feedback, honestly. I haven't gotten, I was expecting to get a lot of, nope, I got so much good feedback.
I got to ask you this, who's the most proud? You because, are your dad because of you're the model in the middle, or you because your dad got to be in the same monthly magazine as you?
Well, my dad is kind of used to having the light on him. he is proud of his daughter. He is, you know, I told him like he's allowed to get the magazine, but he's not allowed to like look any articles other than himself or maybe the other girls, you know. I'm like because you know, there's a whole, you know. But I'm I can't help it. I've been working so hard to try to become model in the middle. So I don't know. I think I'm more excited because, you know, he's 87 years old, and to finally be able to have a father-daughter thing like in the same magazine together, that's amazing. Cool. Never been that's able cool. to really connect that way.
Yeah. And well, so, your dad is a highly decorated award winner too, and sports, and movie making too. What was he, a producer or a cameraman, or what was his role?
He designed special effects cameras. So he was vice president of a company called Cinema Products. And you might know this, or you may not know this. So they got an Oscar for the Steadicam. Mm-hmm. And now he's gotten Academy Awards before that and after that, but the big one was the Steadicam. Garrett Brown came to Cinema Products and said, hey, you know, he was filming his girlfriend running around, and he had this idea of a Steadicam. And so he came to Cinema Products, talked to my dad and everybody, Ed DiGiulio, and said, hey, we need something. Well, I want this. And so they created the Steadicam, which then, and I believe it was 1977. Mm. I was 11 when I got to hold my dad's Oscar. And so they got an Academy Award for that. And I believe the first movie was with Rocky, and the scene where Rocky's wow. running up the stairs and everybody thought it was on tracks, but there was a man holding about 45 pounds at the time, a Steadicam, running around Sylvester Stallone. Like, that guy should have got an Oscar himself. So,
wow. Yeah, the interview with her dad, Robert, was pretty amazing to me, because I've always been interested in movie making, as well as my still stuff. And the fact that he was so integral in the creation of the Steadicam. He even told me that what had happened was the guy had gone first to Panavision, which was the big dog in Hollywood back then, and still probably to a degree. And they had said, this isn't something where, you know, we think it's going to go anywhere. And then he took it to Cinema Products, and with Robert being an engineer, they looked at it and thought, you know, there's something here. We might want to jump on this. And the next, and what, as I say, is history. And he was telling me about some of the cinematographers that he worked with directly was pretty amazing, like Wexler and some of these guys. It was crazy hearing him talk about these huge names that I've always looked up to. They were like idols as far as lighting guys. And, oh yeah, I was working with, you know, Wexler on this, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, what? So the interview was amazing. And the fact I got to meet him in person, and we talked about a device that I use for my still stuff. And I said, you know what, you need to make this better. And he actually looked at it and said, no, let me think about that. So that'd be great if he could do that. I said, make up your own device like this.
Well, I'm sure that your father's cameras helped make John in particular look much better in what we do in professional wrestling, because they, you know, WWE uses the latest technology and everything, and the camera system. And John has knocked a few cameras around, and it was real steady. So that's probably your father.
I needed as blurry a camera as possible to make me look good. I feel like I can blame it on the camera. What's wrong with that guy? I don't know. He's actually blurry in real life. It's not.
Dave, a couple of questions for you. Your race car career, have you had any races or anything?
No racing, but I am about to work on a month-long launch for Infiniti, the Infiniti brand. They're launching a new version of their big SUV, the QX80, completely redesigned. New engine, drivetrain, new tech. I mean, it's like incredible. In fact, I leave this weekend and I'm going to the Nissan test facility over in Maricopa, Arizona. And I'm going to be working there all next week, doing comparisons between it and its competing vehicles and doing write-ups about it. And then the following week, I am going to be down in Dallas for photographing a couple of possible models in the middle for the magazine. Take about 4 days off to do that. Then I head to Nashville for another week of driving with Infinity. And then from Nashville, I go to Austin down to the F1 track where Infinity is actually doing an event down at the F1 track with the QX80 and a lot of the, I don't know if it's consumers, but I think it's some of their high ups and some of their dealer people. So it's a pretty big program.
David, you drive fast cars, you model, you take pictures of beautiful women. You've won in life.
Yeah.
I have. I'm the guy.
You're that guy. You're that guy.
Yeah, I'm that guy.
You're that guy. Yeah. I've always wanted to be that guy, and you're that guy.
When I would meet guys in when I was doing the girls at the colleges, especially later on after I'd started doing my driving stuff in the late 90s. I tell these guys what I did and they'd look at me like, what? How is this possible? Yeah. You're doing everything we want to do. Exactly.
As they walk, I'm going, I hate him. I absolutely hate him, man. Out of jealousy.
Yeah. So it's been a great life, and thank the good Lord he's allowing me to continue it for a little while longer. So, or a lot longer, I hope. So anyway, it's, and speaking of that, I mean, we were talking about exercise, and back in 2000, I had a complete hip replacement in my left hip due to an accident way back in the late 70s. Anyway, during that time, they gave me some therapies that I had to do and some little exercises. Well, I took that and moved it forward. So for about 15 years, I did 100 push-ups every day. I did about 50 sit-ups. I did leg lifts. I did all kinds. I did about 30 minutes of workouts every day. Until just about 5 years ago, I got a tear in my rotator in my right arm. And I have to be very careful now because I do not want to have to get surgery on my arm. So I had to give up on all those push-ups.
We just had a friend get surgery on his shoulder replacement. He took 6 months off on a 2 week operation.
And I can't do that. I can't take 6 months off.
Well, he couldn't either, but he did.
Yeah, we question how much he's milking it, to be honest.
Yeah.
True. But anyway, yeah. So I tried to do that, and I've kept myself in pretty decent shape as well due to that. And now I have to try to do other things. Heck, just carrying all the gear that I take on location.
Right, yeah.
Is stupid.
I've seen those cameramen running through airports before, you know, and I always kind of chuckle at them because I know what they're going through working with them so many years. You know?
Oh, yeah. It's just crazy. I mean, a C-stand weighs about 35 pounds, and I carry one of those with me and have to set it up and all that. Plus, the sandbag is a 15 or 20 pound sandbag. So, you know, just carrying this stuff around and doing photo shoots and moving it around during the day kind of gives me a little bit of a workout. So by the end of the afternoon, when I work with somebody, photograph somebody, I am ready for a rest time. That's for sure.
I think it was Ed Vasseur's, America's greatest climber, climbed all 14, 8,000 meter peaks without oxygen. When the IMAX wanted to shoot the Everest exhibition, he's the one they hired to carry the camera, which is like 50 pounds up to the top of Everest. He's the only one literally on the planet that could do it. So he was like, that's a great challenge. Okay. I'll do it.
Wow.
So when you have the articles you have in your magazine, you got one on the Big Bang right now that was really interesting. How do you choose? Is it just a matter of what you see out there that's interesting at the time? Because they not that they seem random, but you have great articles, but sometimes they're almost disconnected. They're like all kinds of different things. It's kind of like what guys are interested in, but
there
how
you go. And that's what I'm trying to do is to bring in some content that's varied and interesting and some things that might interest guys beyond the pretty ladies that are in the magazine. I have a gentleman in the UK who's I call him my UK editor because that's what he is, but he's the gentleman that's been writing some of these really interesting articles about history and or science and all that sort of stuff. And he has a really good finger on the pulse for some of these articles. He'll send me several ideas and what do you think about this, David? This, or this? And I'll look through his little synopsises and then I'll go, you know, I really like this one. I think this will be a really good one. And so that's how it comes about. I mean, it's just trying to give variety and interest to the magazine beyond being considered just a magazine of pretty ladies. Plus the fact I always do a how it was done, which, by the way, I've been getting some great feedback from photographers out there. They love that part of it. And you know, when I started doing that, I thought it was more like an afterthought. I thought maybe I just did a workshop just a few days ago, and several of the guys said, "Wow, I love your how it was done." Really? That's awesome. So now that I know that it's like they're really accepting of it, I'm continuing to do that as well. So it's just trying to keep it lively, keep it relevant and a little more sophisticated and current. The photography, yes, is reminiscent of classic Playboy because heck, I worked for them for so long. And it's anytime people think of nudity, to do it well, it's always thought of as being Playboy was the best, even though it's no longer that way. I'm trying to keep that legacy a little bit alive for a little bit longer. So that's all part of it, just trying to make it an interesting magazine beyond the women, and where it's something where a guy would want to read it as well as look through it as well.
You know, when you look at how it's done, which is a really cool article that he had this last magazine, it's so cool because it's not like a magician. Like when a magician, you find out how it's done, it's almost like he spoils the trick, but you learn how Orson Welles did Citizen Kane. And anyway, they had a spot in the floor and you look up. I just saw one how Charlie Chaplin did the lean over, he almost falling off the cliff. And it was unbelievable the way they did it back in the 20s, but you look at it and go, oh, that's awesome. It makes you want to learn more. Do you pick out as a topic and then go find the writer? Do you find a writer who's written a topic and ask him to write it for you? How do you develop the story itself once you figure out a topic to get it in the magazine?
Some of the writers that I've worked with, there's a female writer that I work with that she comes up with some great local type of stuff that has to do with Vegas and Nevada and that sort of thing, timely, and it speaks about food, travel, and that sort of thing, which is very interesting. She's a young woman who is an aspiring writer. And so I 2 years ago when we started the magazine, I said, would you be open to writing me something and let me take a look at it? And she did, and it was great. It read great. I said, okay. And she was in. And then she became a regular contributor to the magazine. And then the same thing goes, I have a food guy now who travels the world. I mean, he has a job that allows him to travel the world, but because of that, he goes to some of the finest restaurants and some of these other little cafes. And he has been doing some articles for me on travel and food of late as well internationally, which gives the magazine a wonderful international flavor. And we are sold in other countries. We're sold now in Russia and Australia, the UK, France, and Singapore. I mean, we are an international magazine. So having that kind of material is awesome.
Is the next phase of the magazine just a growth trajectory? Is there something different that you're planning? But it's the growth trajectory is the next phase.
The next phase is growing it, getting the numbers out there, trying to get it out to more people to grow those numbers. I mean, right now it's somewhat organic and just on me trying to get the word out through my social media. I need to try to eventually get some sort of marketing campaign together to get it out to the masses. We'll see how to make that work. But that's where it's at. Yeah, I'm just trying to grow the numbers.
Well, the way you make it work is keep continuing having young ladies like Renee on there. And Renee, I'd like to ask you too. You're a teacher. My wife's a teacher also. But you're an art teacher. You're an artist too, accomplished artist. Do you have any artwork out there you can talk about that? What is your style and everything?
Well, what I actually love to paint in oils, although I do acrylics and watercolor sketching, I do all of it, even work in clay, but my favorite is oils. So I teach oils. I will teach people from age 5 years old all the way up to 85 years old, and we'll use oils and the stuff we come up with. It's just absolutely mind-boggling and beautiful. And if you can look behind me and you can probably see some of my artwork hanging on the walls back there.
Yeah,
I've sold a lot, thousands of pieces actually all over. And most of my artwork, like if it's women, generally is some aspect of myself. And I use myself as a model. So that's another reason why I need to look good, because, you know, I need to be able to see everything. And so I tell, sometimes I tell stories through my paintings with the females, and you can kind of see where I am in life when you look at my paintings. And then
has this been a lifelong, have you always been into art?
Yeah, since I was 3 years old.
Wow.
So for 55 years, it's been my passion. I knew at 3 years old, that's what I wanted to be when I grew up. Now, as I got older, I realized I'm going to have something else going at the same time, because the life of an artist is very difficult. Now I'm able to live completely off of it, you know, and
that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And now it's 100% my art, but it took a really long time of getting there to do that. Yeah.
Well, what does it take longer to teach a 5 year old? You said you had a 5 year old student, or an 85 year old guy, or aspiring artist. Which one's the easiest to teach, I should say?
Well, I do have to approach them slightly different, just slightly. And the thing is, because the age ranges are so completely different. Everybody. Art, the thing about art is they can be amazing at 5 or just terrible at 5, or they can be amazing at 50 or be terrible. It art does not have an age. So it really independent. Each person is independent when it comes to that, because I have this one young lady, she's been with me for 9 years now. And she started when she was 5. But she blew my mind. She understood things, obviously, immediately. And I just, because it's private art teachers, I go to their homes. And so, you know, sometimes people just get it. And then you might have somebody who's an older sibling and they don't get it. So it really depends on the person and their natural ability, whether they're right-brained or left-brained. I don't believe that there's anybody who can't paint. If I'm sitting down with them, they're going to be able to paint. Period.
I'm in my right brain. I'm left-handed, so
you're in your no brain.
I do. I get a comment from you, and my art is horrible. I have a son that's an architect, and of course his artwork is just off the charts, great. You know, and so always get a little envious of my son. You know, why can you draw and I can't? And he's really the only one in the family. One of my sisters can paint and draw pretty well.
Oh, and, I could teach you. Yeah, because the one-on-one, yeah, no. You'd be.
Well, I'd be a great student, Renee. I promise you, I'd be a great student. My mind would be 100% on art too.
The only thing that me and Mr. Briscoe have drawn is unemployment.
Yeah.
We tried.
We're good at it too, though.
We're very good at drawing unemployment. We've done it many times in our life. Mr. Briscoe's actually the one that hired me about 30 years ago. So,
like I said, I found him on a barroom floor.
That's right. He says it's his only mistake. Well, Renee, what is next? What is next for you?
Well, I'm just going to continue to teach art. And actually, I was considering at 60 looking into becoming in a fitness magazine. I wasn't sure which one yet, but that's kind of my goal. That's coming up in like a year and some change, right? So I was thinking of getting possibly into a fitness magazine at 60. I feel like the older I get, the more open thing, like just you start rising as you get older. And so I'm like, all right, let's do this. I'm always going to teach art because I love teaching. I love art. I love kids and stuff. So I'm always going to do that. I don't know what the rest is. I mean, I've written children's books already, and I do music videos, and I have art classes online on YouTube. So I've got all these things going. So I'm just going to probably do some more creative stuff. Not sure what yet. We'll see.
And David, to those that are listening out there, what's the easiest way to subscribe to your magazine, to get your magazine?
The easiest way is to go to MECEmagazine.com. That's it. MECEmagazine.com all together. and it'll take them to the website. Then they can click on the subscribe button and or buy a single issue or subscribe. Although right now we're in a little bit of a lurch because the single issue somehow has disappeared. So, but they're working on it on the website to get it back up. But that's where they can go to purchase an issue or a subscription.
Well, awesome. Well, guys, thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate it. Did you either get, when you guys have any social media or anything you want to push or anything like that? I always forget that because I'm
on my Instagram. Missemag is MECEMAG on Instagram. That's the magazine's Instagram page. MECEMAG is Instagram and or my at David Meese. That's my word. My name is together at David Meese.
And Renee, was there I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, and so I've got a ton of different websites, actually. The ones that people know the most, I'm on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook. I have a professional one on there, too. But you can find me on YouTube. It's just Renee, R-E-N-E-E-A-U-G-U-S-T-E. You can go to YouTube. Or you can go to my Instagram, which is Renee, R-E-N-E-E.August, A-U-G-U-S-T-E. You can go there. I've got Etsy. You can just look up my name and it'll pop up. But yeah. And my Facebook, I have August Art Facebook page. If you go to my normal page, you'll find my August Art there. That's it. Because we have been interviewed. So I actually have this little thing. Wait, can you see it? Can you read it?
Hold it up closer.
My website's on it. Do you see it?
A little closer.
A little closer. Yeah, can you see it?
There we go. Yeah.
Oh yeah, there it is.
Yes. Good. Good.
I was asked before, so I thought, you know, maybe I should just print them out because I've got quite a few because I've got my August Art books for my children's books. I mean, so there's a plethora of. So I thought I'd go ahead and print that out.
Tell us just a little bit. If you got a couple of minutes, just a little bit about your children's books. What are they all?
So it's called the Five Friends series, and there are six of them that I wrote and illustrated, one being a coloring book. So the other five are all illustrated and colored. That's it. It's just basically five friends going on adventures. Five friends walk through a rainbow and they've got that adventure. Five friends search for spring and then they have that one. There's ones where they go off into outer space. They have some, they go to other countries. And ones where they go and find fairies. And it's fun, you know, all my students at bottom, I've sold a whole pile of them. Yeah. So you could go to augustartbooks.com and find them there. And there's a tiny little itty bitty link down there that you can go down there. It's a tiny thing. You can barely see it, but it's there. And you can buy them through there. You just click on that and it'll take you right to where to buy my books.
Outstanding.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, Renee, David, thank you very much for joining us. Appreciate your time. And it's wonderful to talk to a couple other God bless Texas people.
Oh, I know. This is awesome, man. It's like the Texas crew today.
Renee, exactly. you made it pleasurable for me. I thought I got to admit it. These other two guys, they were just paying attention there. But thank you so much. And David, thank you. You're now the most popular guy that we've had on our podcast. You've appeared on it more than anybody. But I think it's the side attractions that you bring on the air that get you all the airtime.
It doesn't hurt. Yeah.